So yesterday we were looking in Luke chapter 24, and this is the story of just after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we saw that the women, Mary being one of them, and the women that were with him came with the spices, and they arrived to find that Jesus was no longer in the tomb. Now I want to read to you a few of these verses. We're going to read through all the way to verse number 11 and 12. And then we're also going to incorporate a view from the book of John as well. And what we were looking at yesterday, before I read these verses, we were just looking to see that the women came, and they had, 2 days ago we looked at the women had a lot of questions. And we have questions in life. And yesterday we looked and we saw that the women came, and as they came, they were perplexed. They didn't understand what was happening. When they saw the empty tomb and they saw the angels, they were perplexed. They were discouraged. They were fearful, and they didn't understand what was happening. How many times in our lives do we fit into at least several of those categories where we're perplexed? You know, we're confused by what's happening. We don't understand how we came to this place and how we're why we're facing whatever the situation might be in our lives. Maybe it's a situation in your family. Maybe it's a health situation, and you're thinking, how did this happen? How did I get here? Or it's a job situation or whatever the case might be. How many times, how often do we find ourselves in those situations where we say, how did I get here? I don't understand how this happened. And we're perplexed. We don't know what to do. We don't know what the next step is or how to eradicate ourselves or remove ourselves from that situation, how to get deliverance and victory. We don't know what to do. And there's fear. There's uncertainty and there's fear that comes. These are all the things that we see that the women were dealing with and facing as they came and found the empty tomb. Because they came and they were expecting to find the body of Jesus. They were coming to find a dead Jesus, not a Jesus who had risen again and was alive. They were not looking for the victorious Jesus. And this summarizes so often. These verses summarize so often the way we live our lives and the way we hold our expectations for Jesus concerning the things in our lives. If you're facing something today that you're saying to yourself, I don't understand how I got here. I don't understand what to do. I'm perplexed. I have no idea what to do, how to extricate myself from the situation. And there's an element of fear involved because you're fearful of what's happening or what could possibly happen. You're in the very place of Mary and these other women. The first thing that we have to learn is, were you coming looking for the body of Jesus? They were coming and they were not expecting to see the resurrected living Jesus. They came expecting to find the body of Jesus. In other words, they were not expecting the power of Jesus at all. How many times when we're faced with situations where we don't understand how we got there, we're perplexed and we're fearful, and yet, even in spite of all that, we're not expecting, we don't come. We might pray and we might ask other people to pray for us, but we're not really expecting to see the power of Jesus. We're not expecting the resurrection power to really significantly change our lives or our situation. Listen, we've all been there, and I understand this, been there myself. I can even think of situations where if I would give myself over to, which I have done, give myself over to obsessing on something. You know, when I start to obsess on something, I begin to really give myself over to fear. And even by the words, my wife has even had to say to me, listen to the words that you're saying. Because those words don't sound like words of faith to me. And then it's caused me to have to do some readjustment and think, yeah, what am I expecting? Am I expecting the victory? Am I expecting the power of Jesus Christ? Or am I expecting failure? And I had to, by having Donna hear the words that I spoke and identify back to me that there was not faith in those words, it caused me to come to the understanding that I was exactly where those women were at. Perplexed and fearful and not expecting to see the power and the victory of Jesus. I was saying the words that I was, but what my words were really revealing was that I was not expecting. Too many times we're like these women where we come and we're looking for a powerless Jesus instead of looking for the risen, victorious Jesus who has given us the resurrection power as well. So let's read these verses. Again, this is Luke chapter 24. I'm going to start reading verse number 2. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went inside, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. See, here again, they were expecting to see the body of Jesus. even though Jesus had told them that he would rise again. It did not make sense to them in their natural minds. And they were expecting not victory. They were expecting the body of Jesus. Defeat. Verse 4. And while they were perplexed and wondering what to do about this, behold, two men in dazzling raiment suddenly stood beside them. Here two angels appear. I want you to notice that even when angels, we think that if angels would come and say something to us and speak words of encouragement to us, well, that would change our faith. We would then walk and operate in faith. Probably not. You think you would, but look, it didn't change the faith at all. It didn't change the perspective at all of the women. Because here's these two angels that appear clearly angels. And as the women were frightened and were bowing their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living amongst those who are dead?" So they're identifying right away, why are you looking for a dead Jesus? You should be looking for a live Jesus. You should be looking for the victorious risen Jesus and the power of Jesus Christ. And those words that those angels said are the same words that you should be able and I should be able to hear today ringing in my ears when I face things that cause me to be perplexed and uncertain and fearful. I should hear the voices. I should be able to hear the voices I just read. I should hear this verse in my head, spoken by two angels. Why do you look for the living? Jesus is alive with resurrection power. Why do you look for the living amongst the dead? Don't be looking for defeat. Be looking for the risen, victorious Jesus Christ. In verse 6, the angels go on to say, "He's not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee." So now the angels bring back to the remembrance of these women. They bring back to their remembrance exactly what Jesus had said. What the angels are doing is saying, go back and remember. What did Jesus say? Remember the words that he spoke to you. Because at this point, even though these women have two angels standing in front of them, they still are not beyond that perplexed state. They still are not beyond that fear and that uncertainty. We think seeing supernatural things is going to cause our faith to change radically. What changes our faith is the Word of God. That's what changes our faith. You know, when Jeff and Tommy were just speaking during the last hour about, you know, the different Bible versions that we read, and Tommy had said, yeah, it's not just the version that's your favorite. Make sure it's the version that you read as well, because you don't get power by having the Bible sitting in your house. You get the power and the authority. You get the faith. You get the strength. You get the wisdom and the insight. You get the growth and the development that comes when you read the Word and you get the Word inside of you. And this is exactly what the angels were doing. The presence of two angels with their shining with the glory of the Lord did not change the perspective of these women. What changed their perspective, because the angels knew what would change their perspective, is the Word of God. What changes our perspective is not seeing monumental, supernatural things. What changes, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, according to Romans. When we hear the Word of God, when we get the Word of God in us, this is what develops and brings our faith to the forefront. Angels knowing this, and they pointed the women back, and they said, "Do you not remember?" Remember what he said. Remember what Jesus told you while he was still in Galilee. And then they said, the angels didn't just say, remember what Jesus said. They said, remember what Jesus said. Here's what he said, that the Son of Man must be given over to the hands of, must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. And then in verse number 8, it's a very short verse, but they just heard the Word of God and they remembered the Word of God. The angels brought them back. The angels didn't say, listen, we're angels from God, and we're giving you a message from God, so you have hope, and you have, because we're angels from God. Nope, they knew where the hope came from. They knew where the power came from. They knew where the power for these women to see and understand, to have revelation, to understand, and to operate in faith would come not from their words that they would speak, but from the Word of Jesus Christ, from His words, which they had heard, and they needed to remember again. And when those angels, when that angel spoke and said, do you not remember? Remember, when he was in Galilee, he said, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Verse number 8, right after that says, and they remembered his words. You know, I told you earlier that sometimes when I'm not operating in faith, And sometimes when I'm not operating the way I need to be operating as a follower of Jesus Christ, when I give myself over to doubts and uncertainty or I start to obsess on a problem, you know, Donna has to sometimes do the same thing to me. It's like she doesn't actually do this, but it's like she is spiritually putting her hands on my face and getting my attention, holding my face in her hands so that I must be looking into her eyes. And she always reminds me, she brings me back to the Word. She'll tell me what my words sound like as a tool to remind me to go back to His Word and to remember His Word. And that's where the change takes place. And that's where we see the change take place with these women. When they heard the Word and they remembered the Word, they took their minds back to the Word that Jesus had spoken. And they remembered His words. Now verse 9 says, "And having returned from the tomb, they reported all these things, taken together to the 11 apostles and to all the rest." So as soon as they saw that and heard that, what do? They go and they share that Jesus is arisen. They go and they share this with the disciples. And certainly they're sharing with the disciples the words that the angel said. And certainly they're sharing with the disciples what they remember, what they knew, and what surely the disciples knew as well, the same words that they remembered, the words that Jesus had spoken to them, that He must be turned over to the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise again. So they shared all this with the apostles. And verse number 11 says, "But these reports seemed to the men an idle talk, madness, feigned things, nonsense. And they did not believe the women." These women were at the tomb, and they were having a struggle because they were looking not for the powerful, resurrected Jesus Christ, victorious Jesus Christ. They were going looking for a defeated Jesus. What it took for them to get their perspective correct was the Word of God and remembering the Word of God, and it brought them freedom. Now, I want us to see what some of the next steps are that we see that take place. Mary, she believes, but even she still has some work to do where she actually sees Jesus, and we'll see that probably tomorrow. But we see that this is what happened with the disciples. So we have the disciples who are told what happened. Now, the next thing that we see from the disciples is they want to go and they want to see for themselves, because in verse number 12 it says, "But Peter got up and he ran to the tomb, but stooping down and looking in," so Peter heard these words from Mary and the others, but it seemed like nonsense to the disciples. "But Peter got up and he ran to the tomb, and he stooping down and looked in, he saw the linen cloth alone by themselves, and he went away wondering about and marveling at what had happened." Now, that might sound like, oh, well, maybe he got it. No, he's wondering what happened, but he still is not at that place where he has yet gotten it. How do we know that? Because we see the same account given to us in John chapter 20. In John chapter 20, I'm going to read to you verses 2 through 8 of John chapter 20, because it picks up the story. "So she ran and went," so it's talking about Mary Magdalene, "she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciples, whom Jesus tenderly loved, and said to them, 'They've taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they've laid him.' Upon this, Peter and the other disciple," this is talking about John, "upon this, Peter and the other disciple," John, "came out, and they went to the tomb. And they came running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and arrived at the tomb first." So Peter and John, they hear this news. It seems like nonsense, but they're running to see for themselves. John outruns Peter, and he gets there before Peter does. "And stooping down," speaking about John, "and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not enter. Then Simon Peter came up following him and went to the tomb and saw the linen cloth lying there. But the burial napkin, the kerchief, which had been around Jesus' head, was not lying with the other linen clothes, but was still rolled up, wrapped round and round in a place by itself. And then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, went in too, and he saw and was convinced and believed." So John sees, he heard the testimony, of the women. It seemed like nonsense, but he comes and he sees the tomb and he sees the linen still laying there. John saw it and he believed. Verse 9 says, "For as they did not yet know and understand the statement of the scripture that he must rise again from the dead." So they still don't have that final. John believes, but they're still not remembering the word that was spoken or understanding the word that was spoken. Then the disciples went back again to their homes and lodging places. So you can see that John believed, but John makes it clear that he believed, which is given the indication, and we see later, that Peter, still at this point, is not at that place of believing. Mary believed. John and Peter and the other disciples found the testimony as nonsense. Peter and John ran to the tomb to see the tomb. John, seeing it, he believed. Peter still does not. Now, there's more to come that we'll see with Mary, and we'll look at that tomorrow in John chapter 20. But here's the thing that I want us to just end with today. Whatever you're facing today, it might seem just like Mary and the other women, where it seems like you don't understand how you got there, you're perplexed as how to get out, and fear has entered. The first thing to realize is it is imperative for us to put our eyes off of the situation and onto the Word of God. Now, sometimes when you're in that struggle and you're in that time of fear, it seems like the last thing you want to do is pick up the Word of God and read it. And that is the enemy trying to keep you away from your answers. Be diligent and determined. Read the Word and remember the Word. Let the Holy Spirit minister to you through the Word. And He will back, He will even bring back. As you start being diligent and read the Word, He will bring back to remember, to remembrance other parts of the Bible that will give you answers, comfort, direction, and strength. And then you can take that and share it with others who are also facing their own situations and their own difficulties, just like John and Peter were. You can take that testimony, and that testimony is going to, you might not always get the response you're looking for, but it's going to challenge people. It challenged Peter and John, who got up and ran to see for themselves. And when you share that testimony with others, when you're going through the process, and Mary's still going through the process, you don't have to be all the way having arrived to your answer before you can share your testimony with others. Share what you know and share what you're experiencing, because it led John to a place where he came and he looked, he saw, and he believed. And we're going to see tomorrow, we're going to see the rest of that story, especially with Mary and how she sees Jesus. There's a step-by-step process in this, but it all starts with coming back to the Word of God and remembering the Word. In those times, Jesus, we thank you for your word, for your promises, and for your love. You be glorified, Jesus, in our day and in our lives. You be glorified. We look to you not as defeated. We look to you knowing that you have the victory. You arose victoriously. You ascended in victory. You are seated at the right hand of the Father in victory. And you have given us that victory in your name. So we give you the praise and we thank you for it. Jesus, you be glorified. Amen.